Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise, and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M. Thank you very much for tuning in this evening. Today, the Iraq Study Group released its report. In a word, everything Bush has done is wrong. Well, there's a surprise. When I think back to 3.5 years ago, actually longer than that, about 4 years ago, when millions of people in this country and around the world demonstrated against what this murderous bastard in the White House was about to do. And the demonstrations and the protests by how many millions is unknown at this point. One source will tell you 10 million, another source will tell you 20 million people. But those demonstrations were the largest anti-war demonstrations probably ever, and certainly the largest anti-war demonstrations prior to the initiation of hostilities. And Bush gave everybody the finger. And so did the Republican establishment. And so did a certain element of the Democratic establishment. And if we want to be charitable, we can say that's because they were given false information. I don't know if I feel like being charitable about that or not. But that's the rationale that the Democrats use now. We didn't know when we voted for this war resolution. If someone, anyone, would, in a policy-making decision, would have paid attention to the collective wisdom of those 10 or 20 or 30 million people who demonstrated against this war prior to its beginning, the war never would have happened. So when I listen today, as I'm sure you probably found some time to listen to all the press, all the television now about what the Iraq Study Group has determined, I'm sure that you possibly, like moi, sat there and said, who gives a damn? Who gives a damn about what this group is saying? So the power establishment in Washington, D.C., comes together, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats. They spend weeks and weeks and weeks doing their research, and they still don't demand an immediate exit. An immediate exit. We have utterly and absolutely destroyed Iraq. There is no way that there is not going to be a continuing slaughter in that country. Whether we are there or not. The only difference will be if we're not there, there will not be American casualties. The slaughter of Iraqis by Iraqis is going to continue. you can attribute that slaughter to one of various explanations, I guess. The pent-up rage from all those years under Saddam Hussein. The frustration of knowing that you have the capacity to be a society that is artistic, scientific, and knowing that, once again, your society is degenerating into a religious bloodbath. The frustration between Sunni and Shia, which is medieval in its rage and sickening in its intensity and disgusting because it's religious. The list of possibilities here go on and on. But one fact remains. The blood is going to continue to run in rivers in Iraq for the foreseeable future. But the Iraq Study Group presents its findings. I mean, I can't think of anything like this in history. As David Corn writing at The Nation Online, let me find this, because he points out something interesting. Here it is. He says, by declaring that Bush's current approach is misguided, the Baker-Hamilton Commission creates greater space for debate over alternatives. Its report undermines Bush's recent claims that, quote, we're winning, end quote, in Iraq, and that he has a strategy for victory, end quote. You're not, and you don't, the report retorts. This slap from Baker and the other Republican members, former Attorney General Edwin Meese, former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, former Senator Alan Simpson, former Secretary Lawrence Eagleburger, is significant. When has such a group of Washington influentials offered a stinging indictment of the defining mission of a president from their own party? This report comes close to being a vote of no confidence from the Republican elite. Now, David Corn, whom I have great respect for, writes that, and again, I say to myself, feh, who cares? It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. To think that you and I knew 4 years ago that this day would come, and there are worse days ahead. There's going to be more slaughter. The divisiveness in this country is going to continue. The fractioning of Iraq is going to continue. What do you suppose the Kurds have been doing while the Sunni and the Shia carry on their thousand-year-old, hate-filled, destructive bloodbath? The Kurds have been solidifying their control of northern Iraq. The Kurds are getting close to demanding that the country of Kurdistan that disappeared around World War I reappear. And it's going to take huge chunks off the eastern end of Turkey, huge chunks off the northern end of Iraq, and a big piece of Iran. That's what the Kurds have been doing. This is astonishing. This is unbelievable. What George W. Bush and the Project for a New American Century, the neoconservatives, who took us into this mouth of hell. And folks, let me tell you, this report is, I hate to say it means nothing, but how could it mean anything when most people with the sense that evolution gave a salamander. Most people with that level of the ability to use reason and logic knew from the beginning, before the beginning, that this enterprise by this rat bastard in the White House was a murderous enterprise that was going to result in the deaths of thousands, uncounted thousands of Iraqis, and approaching 3,000 Americans, uncounted blood and gore and destruction. So to the Iraq Study Group, I say, kiss my grits. You people make me sick. Because even with your what was it, 79 recommendations, that's approaching Martin Luther's 95 theses. When he challenged the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. This is what the Iraq Study Group has done. They've not nailed the report to the door of the church, but they might as well have. 79 recommendations from the Iraq Study Group, 95 theses challenging the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church by Martin Luther 500 years ago. But you'll notice that the Catholic Church is still flourishing. So I don't know. I really don't know where to go with the program tonight. We have some sound on some of the statements made. We got a couple other things I want to come back with. I may talk to you about Santa and the reindeer pee. I may have to, just to break out of this Iraq Study Group madness. Have you ever wondered why Santa, Santa and the flying, what that all means? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
They say don't step off the sidewalk and don't cross over the line. But we'll serve time at night and the lights begin to dim. When the smoke seems to clear, you can.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before we get to the sound that we have for you tonight, there's a website, JonesReport.com. That's where I got this. Film director David Lynch, right? Twin Peaks on television, and his films include Blue Velvet, Eraserhead, Mulholland Drive. He has joined the group of people in this country who have spoken out against the official story of 9/11. He was on a Dutch TV program, the name of which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. In that interview, Lynch brought up that the hole in the Pentagon is not big enough for an airplane. There's little or no damage to the lawn, blah, 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 blah. He points out that released videos do not show a plane hitting the Pentagon. And then I heard earlier today that another video has been released from another camera. There's still 62 or 72 or 82 different videos that the Bush crime family refuses to release for obvious reasons. And the video that was released, I believe it was today, within the past day or two, again, it doesn't show an aircraft hitting the Pentagon. So, you know, whatever. But David Lynch goes on in this interview to briefly highlight the questions regarding these the three unexplained demolition-style collapses of the World Trade Center buildings. Lynch said, quote, two of them were hit by a plane, but the third one, they said, you want us to pull it, and they pulled it, and it looked just like the other two coming down. Those things bother me. He said he's also bothered by the hole in the ground in Pennsylvania. He says, quote, so every place there's questions. You don't have to believe everything in the documentary to still have questions. He's talking about loose change. Lynch goes on to say, it's an event that has many questions and no answers, unquote. When asked if the government did this, if the U.S. government did this, he responds the following, quote, it's too big for people to think about. It's too big. It's, you know, something no one wants to think about. Mary Cheney, the vice president's openly gay daughter, is pregnant. That certainly is blessed news. She and her partner of 15 years, Heather Poe, are, quote, ecstatic, end quote, about the baby, as soon-to-be parents should be. The baby's due in late spring, said a source close to the couple. It's a baby boom for grandparents Dick and Lynn Cheney. Their older daughter, Elizabeth, has taken leave as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State before having her fifth child in July. A spokesman for the Cheney family said, quote, the Vice President and Mrs. Cheney are looking forward with eager anticipation to the arrival of their sixth grandchild, end quote. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. You're way ahead of me. Way ahead of me. News of the pregnancy will no doubt reignite, it says here, the debate about gay marriage. During the campaign, Mary Cheney was criticized by gay activists for not being more publicly supportive of same-sex marriage. Mary Cheney called Bush's policy supporting a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage, quote, this is what Mary Cheney said, a gross affront to gays and lesbians everywhere, end quote. That's in her book. Now it's my turn. Mary Cheney has described her relationship with Heather Poe, whom she took to last year's White House dinner honoring Prince Charles and Camilla, as a marriage. In November, Virginia voters, now Heather Poe and Mary Cheney live in Virginia, Virginia voters passed a state constitutional amendment banning gay marriage and civil union. State law is unclear on whether Heather Poe, who is not the partner carrying the fetus, whether Heather Poe could have full legal rights as a parent of Cheney's child. The circumstances of the pregnancy will remain private. Now, the hypocrisy here, the hypocrisy of the Bush crime family, the hypocrisy of the ruling elite in this country, I wonder if Rick Santorum or Bill Frist or some of these other evil sons of bitches are going to send a congratulatory letter to the Cheneys or to Mary Cheney specifically. Statement was issued by Jennifer Chrysler of Family Pride. The statement says the front page of the Washington Post website announced today that Mary Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney's gay daughter, is pregnant. Mary and her partner, 15 years, are described as ecstatic about the arrival of their first child due in late spring. The news of Mary Cheney's pregnancy exemplifies once again how the best interests of children are denied when lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender citizens are treated unfairly and accorded different and unequal rights and responsibilities from other parents. As Mary and Heather enter into the life-changing roles of parents, they will quickly face the reality that no matter how loved their child will be by its mother, its grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and close family friends, he or she will never have the same protections that other children born to heterosexual couples enjoy. I'll finish this when we come back after the break.
OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. Too many good docs are getting out of business.
26 before the hour. I just want to finish this about Mary Cheney and Heather Poe. And bless them. This is not about them. This is about, or their baby. This is about these evil sons of bitches in the Republican Party. All of them, every single one of them, who have demonized the idea of gay or transgendered or lesbian or bisexual or whatever people living normal lives, especially where it concerns children. How many states now, I know there's an effort here in Georgia to pass a law that bans the adoption of children by gay couples or a gay individual. Ah, you evil sons of bitches, you evil pigs. You really are. But how do you people feel? You right-wingers who think the sun rises and sets in one of Dick Cheney's body orifices. How do you feel? I mean, he gives you all the finger. Oh, vote for us and we'll stop the queers. Oh, by the way, my daughter happens to be gay, is pregnant. Yay, we're going to have a grandchild. You other people, screw you. You're not going to have any children. You gay and lesbian people, no, you don't get any. We do, though, because we're the Cheneys. We're the power structure. Mary and Heather currently live in Virginia. This is more from the statement by Jennifer Chrysler of Family Pride. Unless they move to a handful of less restrictive states, Heather will never be able to have a legal relationship with her child. The tragedy here is that this climate, Jennifer writes, of hostility towards the LGBT community has only worsened during the administration of which Vice President Cheney, or Grandpa Cheney in this context, has been second in command. Vice President Cheney has been complicit in the largest full-scale attack on the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community in modern history. He, his president, and his political party have repeatedly targeted the LGBT community and LGBT families for scapegoating as part of their calculated political strategy and have attacked at all levels the rights and protections his own daughter will need to ensure a strong, healthy, legally protected family. Grandfather Cheney will no doubt face a lifetime of sleepless nights as he reflects on the irreparable harm he and his administration have done to the millions of American gay and lesbian parents and their children. Oh, my God, I hate these people. Truth seekers, I cannot stand this. I cannot stand this. This particular story, the 9/11 thing that just keeps banging around inside of my head, the Iraq Study Group, this war in the Middle East, it's just an outrage, isn't it? Isn't it? These people feel, these right-wingers feel that they live somewhere else. All right. Now, we talked about this, whether or not to do this, and we're going to do it. Do you have that ready? On March 20th, 2003, the outlaw government of George W. Bush launched the invasion of Iraq. And the attack, the initial attack, was branded shock and awe. For the next 5 minutes, and I hope you stick around, you are going to hear what it sounded like early in the morning in the city of Baghdad, March 20th, 2003. And that went on for hours. March 20th, 2003. We're coming up on 4 years. And going back and finding that piece of audio, Kathy and I got into the deep files here at the Molloy Program and listened to some of the comments that were made by people like R.A. Fleischer and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush right around that particular time. It's unbelievable that the United States government is in the hands and has been in the hands of such vicious, inhuman individuals. It's staggering. So today, the Iraq Study Group gave their opinion of George W. Bush's big adventure and how it's all worked out. And coming back after the break, we will play a little bit of sound from Lee Hamilton, the co-chair of the Iraq Study Group, Chuckle Nuts himself, and the spokesman for this corrupt Nazi regime, Tony Snow. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M Radio.
The statue comes down on Wednesday and the headlines start to read, oh, there's disorder. Well, no kidding. It is a situation that is chaotic because Saddam Hussein created the conditions for chaos. He created conditions of fear and hatred. And it's going to take a while to stabilize the country. But just like the military campaign was second-guessed, I'm sure the plan is being second, but we will be successful.
Yeah. We have a lot more of those, but we're not going to play them tonight because that was then, and this is now. Let's take a call here real quick since it's about that audio. Doug is calling from Anaheim, California. Hey, Doug.
Hey. Yeah. I was on the board last night, and we were just talking, and mentioned the missing episode. This is something that Ben and I have been searching for forever.
All right, now when you say the board,
when
you say the board, you mean the message board at MikeMolloy.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And suddenly this new user, Flancat57, he popped up and says, looks like I've got it. So next thing I know, I'm giving him my private email address, and he's sending me the thing in three emails in six parts, and I'm assembling it over here, and sure enough, it's the missing episode.
Which episode is that?
This is the one that was mentioned in Salon.com. The original one, this has been missing for years, 3 years. This is like a Trekkie suddenly discovering the lost episode of Star Trek. For fans of the show, this is phenomenal. This is the one where you originally went into the shock and awe.
Oh, I see. That was, yeah, an excerpt that we...
the night they launched the attack.
Yeah, right.
And the comments that were made are prophetic.
I'll bet.
Everything that's in this episode, this is an awesome episode. But I've FTP'd it over to Ben. He's going to post it. And it's just a little heads up to fans that have archives that have been collecting. But even if you're not a fan of the show, this is a standalone episode that's one of a kind.
Where's Ben going to post it? Because I'm already getting emails from people that want that available.
Well, I haven't heard from him since last night.
Maybe eBay.
Oh, this is, I mean, I've listened to it three times.
Yeah,
I have to
tell you, Spitfire, when we sit here, Kathy and I, and listen to that like we just did, I can't stop the tears from just stinging up into my eyes. I mean, I can't.
You could sense that same reaction even like multiple to the power of 10 from you on the night it was going down.
Yeah.
Time has dulled the knife a bit, but it was sharp that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like I say, it's a very powerful episode.
And I think I mentioned then, I didn't mention it tonight, we got that audio courtesy of CNN television that happened, not happened, but was there by design to record audio and video of that attack. But, you know, when you stop and think that what we played tonight, I don't know how long it is on the missing episode, but what we played tonight was just under, what was it, Kathy, about 5.5 minutes? Just about 5.5 minutes. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Well, one of the things that was neat was you also played bits of the ongoing carnage as background for the music at the breaks. So you could know that all through the entire show,
The
bombing continued.
It was continuing. It was without let up that night. That was when I used to get emails from Shelby LePre over at radiopower.org, and she would sign off. She had a sig line for a while that said, I hate my country.
Yeah.
And no matter what Shelby wrote about, she would sign off by saying, I hate my country.
Well, I know somebody who watched Fox News that night. The reaction of Fox News reporters on the scene at the time was like they were watching a fireworks expedition. You know, it was like, ooh, ah, oh, did you see that?
Yeah.
Wow. And people are dying. Children are dying. And these people are acting like it's a fireworks show.
Well, I understand what Shelby meant, you know, when she said, I hate my country. It's not the country that we hate. It is this, what has happened to us. The fact that we can do that to someone, that sort of an attack, to someone who has done nothing to us, who, as a matter of fact, were our surrogate murderers in the Iraq-Iran war, where we provided Saddam with all of his weaponry so that he could go kill Iranians. I think 1 million Iranians were killed. Nearly 1 million Iraqis were killed.
No, Saddam was portrayed back during the time when the Ayatollah Khomeini was the big threat. Saddam was portrayed as a Western-style military, you know, brilliant leader who would be able to protect us from the evil Iranians.
Right, and he was that. And he continues to be that, even though he's on the Iraq equivalent of death row now. He was the perfect military dictator puppet. And it doesn't make any difference. Iraq, Panama, Nicaragua, Cuba. I mean, just name the names. Somoza, Batista, Saddam. It doesn't make any difference. The perfect puppet until such time as American corporate masters and political masters say, okay, it's time to kill him and put in a new puppet. Only sometimes everything goes awry, as it has in Iraq. And every single citizen in this country, including you and me, Doug, and you know this as well as I do, we have the blood of this nation all over us. And it's never going to wash out. You know what Lady Macbeth said, out damn spot. It's never going to come out. Doug, I got to leave you there. Thanks for checking in, pal. Send me an email, if you would, of where that's going to be posted.
Right. I'll send you a link as soon as it's up.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Looting is an unfortunate thing. Human beings are not perfect. We've seen looting in this country. We've seen riots at soccer games in various countries around the world.
Welcome back. It is about 7 past the hour. Excuse me. All right, we want to play some sound for you now from the from all the talk that went on today by the Republican and Democratic power establishment in Washington, as they took it upon themselves to, well, actually as an act of Congress, to file a report on what's going on in Iraq. The mere idea that such an enterprise would be undertaken to me is astonishing, just astonishing. There have been so many people on the so-called left, or the liberals, or the Democrats, or the progressives, or a handful of us in talk radio, who have been making the point that the Iraq Study Group made today, essentially, for years. And that is that George W. Bush is a murderous, warmongering son of a bitch, should be removed from office. Yeah, I know. That's not what the Iraq Study Group said. What they did was the upper elites in America equivalent of that. They took George Bush to the woodshed and smacked his ass a couple of times. Now, what's going to happen? I'm not very optimistic. This is a struggle between different factions of the power structure in this country, that the power structure that is so far beyond what you and I can even comprehend as to render it just nonsense to you and me. If you were listening last hour and heard that 5.5 minutes of shock and awe, a branded initial day of war against a country that did nothing to us, if you heard that, you understand how beyond our reach these people are. The people that can initiate and order an attack like that, based on nothing but lies, nothing but fabricated nonsense. And they can do it, they can get away with it, and the sons of bitches can get reelected. Now, I think what this Iraq Study Group has shown today is, first of all, as I mentioned, how beyond us these people are. We have no control over this sort of thing. We gave up that control probably 40 or 50 years ago. It is gone. I'm not sure how I, as an American citizen, should react to the news that I am now totally, completely impotent. I don't even exist in my own country, and neither do you. But that's your existence or non-existence is for you to deal with. I have a hard time with it. The next major issue that's going to arise with these sick bastards is, what happens if A, George Bush ignores this, or B, George Bush acquiesces to what the Iraq Study Group has presented? Either reaction by Bush presents an enormous question for you and me. And that question is, who then really is in control of this country? These 10 people, I don't know how they were selected. I'm sure there was a process. I just don't know what it was. But how do they wind up with Ed Meese and Sandra Day O'Connor and Lee Hamilton? These are people who, in my opinion, for the most part, again, breathe a rarefied air that you and I will never even approach. After all their study, all their reportage, all their interviews, they come up with something as weak and watered down and nonsensical as this Iraq Study Group. Oh, they come up with 79 recommendations. Not one of them was stop the war. Not one. So what does that tell you, truth seeker? Not a single recommendation said Stop it. Stop it now. And I'm sick of hearing, oh, well, we can't do that, Mike, because, you know, then it'll fall into chaos. Well, what in the name of everything holy are you call it now? This is chaos. Jesus Christ, and all these anchors on television mouth-breathing about this, as if the Iraq Study Group presented something that means something. It means nothing. 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 This murderous war is going to continue. Bush had it right several months ago when he said the next president of the United States is going to have to deal with this war. And the next one. This is, I don't know, sometimes it overrides just about everything that I'm involved in my life. Thank God I have a 2-year-old, because she is shock and awe. No offense intended by that. But for all of us who have had 2-year-olds, she determines what my thoughts are going to be 90% of my waking hours. And I just wonder sometimes if Kathy and I had not had Molly. I don't know. I would probably be either insane right now or in prison. Insane from the utter stress of knowing that I live in a country that did this. Or in prison from attempting physically to hurt someone that I might have felt was involved in sending my country into this chaos. So, I don't know. Here's Lee Hamilton, co-chair of the Iraq Study Group. And, you know, it does raise the question with a report like this, how can Bush continue to pretend we're winning the war in Iraq?
Situation in Iraq is grave and deteriorating. Violence is increasing in scope and lethality. Attacks on U.S. forces and U.S. casualties continue at an alarming rate. The Iraqi people are suffering great hardship. The democratically elected government that replaced Saddam Hussein is not adequately advancing the key issues of national reconciliation, providing basic security, or delivering essential services. Economic development is hampered. The current approach is not working, and the ability of the United States to influence events is diminishing. The United States has committed staggering resources. Our country has lost almost 2,900 Americans. 21,000 more have been wounded. The United States has spent an estimated $400 billion in Iraq, and costs could rise well over $1 trillion.
And Bush refers to the report as interesting. Now,
the situation in Iraq
is
grave.
Okay. Bush refers to all this as interesting. And, you know, what Hamilton says here, the democratically elected government that replaced Saddam Hussein, that is horse squeeze. That was not a democratically elected government. But he goes on to say it's not adequately advancing the key issues of national reconciliation, providing basic security, or delivering essential services. And there's a reason for that, and Hamilton doesn't mention it. And the reason is because the power to do those things was removed from the Iraqis, starting with the people that we have sent there to run the country. They had no power. Hamilton says the United States has committed staggering resources. We have committed staggering offenses. We torture and murder and destroy and rape. God damn you, Lee Hamilton. All of you people, all 10 of you, you're liars. You're drinkers of human blood. You are flesh eaters. You're warmongers. Now, shine away from the nightmare. 21 past the hour. Okay, that was Lee Hamilton with his opening, part of his opening statement. Here's some more. Hamilton continues here, this time with the group's strategy to attempt to dig us out of the hole that Bush and the Nazis created. This is as close to a so-called hopeful statement as he came today regarding Bush's catastrophe. Listen, though, to this, as Hamilton admits that even if Raisin Brain followed this commission's recommendations to the letter, there's no guarantee that the situation in Iraq can ever be improved. That's what we have done. That's pretty horrible. Think about it. Eventually, things calmed down in Vietnam after we murdered nearly 3 million Indochinese citizens, after 60,000 of our young men were murdered by a series of American presidents, both Republican and Democrat. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people came back to this country from that war, grievously wounded, amputees, their minds shattered. And now, American corporations are beating each other over the ass to try to open up factories in Vietnam because the labor's cheap. And we're all in this together now, you see? I remember what Shelby said. I hate my country. Jesus. Iraq is going to be much worse than Vietnam ever was. Not necessarily in terms of American dead on a battlefield, although that might be the case. But in terms of the utter, absolute, massive destruction and destabilization of that part of the Middle East. Here's Lee Hamilton again.
Our ship of state has hit rough waters.
Oh, please.
It must now chart a new way forward.
Oh, God.
No course of action in Iraq is guaranteed to stop a slide toward chaos.
No course.
Yet, in our view, not all options have been exhausted. We agree with the goal of U.S. policy in Iraq set forth by President Bush. An Iraq that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself. We recommend a new approach to pursue that goal. We recommend a responsible transition. Our three most important recommendations are equally important and reinforce one another. First, a change in the primary mission of U.S. forces in Iraq that will enable the United States to begin to move its combat forces out of Iraq responsibly. Two, prompt action by the Iraqi government to achieve milestones, particularly on national reconciliation. And three, a new and enhanced diplomatic and political efforts in Iraq and in the region.
Well, Mr. Hamilton, does this mean we'll stop torturing them and raping them and taunting the children with water bottles and brutalizing the prisoners that we pick up for no reason other than it's fun? Mr. Hamilton, sir? We agree, he says, with the goal of U.S. policy in Iraq is set forth by President Bush, an Iraq that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself. Of course, what Mr. Hamilton doesn't say is none of this would be necessary if Chucklenuts and the blood drinkers around him hadn't illegally invaded that nation to begin with. Jesus, I hate these people. I can't believe that I share nationality with them. I can't. We got time for Chucklenuts? It's a quick... No, we don't have time for this one until we come back? Okay. What does that mean? Shaking your head up, shaking your head down, now going round and round. So wait till we come back. All right. When we come back, chuckle nuts as he received the Iraq Study Group report today. And then this disgusting Tony Snow at the briefing today about what will happen in the Bush administration as a result of this ISG report. Having fun tonight, Truth Seeker? What's the date today? Is this the 6th? 19 days before Christmas, huh?
Zone.
26 before the hour. All right, here's Chuckle Nuts as he received the ISG report today. So, what is a tin pot dictator to do when his pappy's group reveals that the present strategy in Iraq just isn't working? Just get with the newspeak, that's what, and tell Foxy the Snowman to do the same.
I have just received the Iraq Study Group report prepared by a distinguished panel of our fellow citizens. I want to thank James Baker and Lee Hamilton and the panel members for spending a lot of time on this really difficult issue.
Jesus.
This report gives a very tough assessment of the situation in Iraq. It is a report that bring some really very interesting proposals, and we will take every proposal seriously, and we will act in a timely fashion.
Oh God, I don't know why we even play that. Okay, let's go on. This is Foxy the Snowman at the briefing today. So, what will happen in the Bush administration as a result of this report? A reporter says, Tony, does the president agree that after 3.5 years of war and what he has often called a plan for victory, the situation is grave and deteriorating? Now, listen to this.
Well, I think, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think it is safe to say there is no denying the level of violence. And, you know, they took a look at four provinces, really, where they think it's almost entirely confined, but it's still a serious problem. Those four provinces account for 40% of the population of Iraq. And therefore, it is a situation where you have seen, I mean, October was the worst month we've had in a very long time. That does not mark an improvement. And therefore, you really do have to roll up your sleeves and work at it. It is clear that the original plan for trying to bring stability to Baghdad didn't work. Be careful about trying to soundbite this.
Yeah.
Because the commission also talks about increased democratic capacity in other parts of the country. It talks about hopeful signs of progress on the political fronts. It talks about improvements and problems in the oil fields. So when you talk about the security situation in Baghdad and Anbar and a couple of other provinces, yeah, there's been deterioration in the last couple of months. But there are a whole series of things going within Iraq, including, as reported yesterday, successful operations in Anbar against al-Qaeda targets. You can never say that, you know, just a stay the course is something that doesn't happen. You also have to realize the characterizations are going to shift because you've got an immense amount of activity going on right now.
So wait a minute, Tony. So the answer is, what will Bush do to stop the violence? What? Anything? Yoo-hoo. Anybody home? That was a minute and 34 seconds of utter, absolute gibberish. You agree? Sure you agree. I guess we're going to have to do the rainbow, reindeer pee. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe a little bit later. All right. Let's see what you've got to say. 800-989-1480 is the phone number here. 800-989-1480. And we'll take your calls as soon as they come in. And today's online anyway, the Washington Post. The Iraq panel, it says here, says that circumstances in that country are grave and deteriorating, which, of course, we've heard, with a potential government collapse and, quote, a humanitarian catastrophe, end quote, if the U.S. doesn't change course and seek a broader diplomatic solution to the problems that have racked the country since the U.S. invaded. It's astonishing, isn't it? It's astonishing. A potential government collapse and a humanitarian catastrophe. What the hell is going on in Iraq right now? There is no government. They're a bunch of clowns who bounce around inside of one of Saddam Hussein's old palaces pretending like they're lawmakers. There is no law. There is no order. There are no essential services. There's nothing. There is no government. It has already collapsed, you ignorant, blind bastards. And a humanitarian catastrophe? Oh, my God, what does it take? A potential humanitarian catastrophe. What do you call what's going on in that godforsaken country now? Ah. Baker said, no one can guarantee that any course of action in Iraq at this point will stop sectarian warfare, growing violence, or slide toward chaos. There is no magic formula to solve the problems of Iraq. I can't believe that the so-called leadership of this country, which is vile, disgusting, contemptible, these are highwaymen, robbers, rapists, murderers saying this. I can't believe that they're saying there's no magic formula. Yeah, there is. Only it's not magic. Get the troops out. Bring them home. And then petition, beg the United States or the United Nations to determine how much we owe Iraq in reparations for property damage, because we will never be able to put together the children with their arms blown off, or the moms and dads with their heads ripped to pieces, or the bodies blown up. Never. That's gone. That's done. Thanks, George Bush, you murdering son of a bitch. That's over. Withdraw now and beg the United Nations to come up with something, anything, to show the rest of the world that we are not a savage bunch of freaked out neo-Nazi murderers in this country. Jesus! The 79 recommendations include the withdrawal of most U.S. combat troops by early 2008, but with a large force left behind to train and assist Iraqi security and military personnel. How much longer are we going to be listened to that filthy lie? We are not training them. They are not trainable. They don't want to be trained by us. They want to kill if they're Sunni. They want to kill if they're Shia. Until the killing has reached a point that they can stop. And then they're going to try to rebuild their country on their own terms. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Lawrence is calling from Berkeley, California. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Hi.
Yeah, there is no insult that you can give the Bush administration or any of his cronies that is... that can cover anything of what they've done. And yes, we should withdraw now, yesterday. However, that's not going to pass Congress.
No, I know.
And therefore, I want to suggest a strategy for the peace movement that might actually win.
Okay.
And might actually win. And that is that we need to have a bill in Congress that will promote a referendum in Iraq And the referendum will say, do you want American troops or do you want them to withdraw? Now, we know from all the polls that 80% of the Iraqis want us gone.
You know, well, Air America Radio Network News is reporting that today 100 members of the so-called Iraqi parliament, 100 members, mm-hmm. have signed a petition once again asking for the immediate removal of U.S. forces. And once again, the petition is being ignored.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what we need to do is go to the American Congress, because there are a lot of Congress people who have been scared witless. Oh, we can't admit that we want to do cut and run. We can't admit that the United States is simply going to pull out and say we've lost. However, we have made this invasion on the premise that we want democracy, on the premise, which is, of course, a lie, but nevertheless the public premise, that we want the Iraqis to have democracy. Mm-hmm. So if we go before the American Congress and say, okay, you want a democracy? Good. Give the Iraqis democracy. Here's a bill which will legitimate and finance a public election in Iraq as a referendum. Do you want American troops there and do you not? I think that there will be a lot of Congress people, a lot of senators who will say, yeah, we can do that. Well, we're not going to vote for a timetable for withdrawal. And I suggest this as a strategy for the peace movement. For the last 3 years, the peace movement in this country has been knocking its head against the wall and saying, withdraw, 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 which we should. Mm-hmm. But each time we have a march, each time we have a demonstration, there are fewer people.
That's true.
Because we're saying the same thing, and it's not going to affect Congress. We need a new slogan. We need a new strategy that will get those thousands of people out on the street, and not only the thousands of people, the millions of people in the United States, but the tens of millions of people who 3 years ago marched around the world. Mm-hmm. We need something new, and that's a referendum in Iraq. This is not to say that the marches and the demonstrations should not also say we want immediate withdrawal. They still should go with that slogan. But in addition, they have to insist on a referendum, because that might work.
And that's a good idea, Lawrence. Thank you for sharing it. It's an excellent idea. And since it is such a good idea, I doubt if the American Congress will ever put it into effect.
For a liberal helping of truth, it's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, email from Joe in New York. Mike, it was stated early at the presentation of the Iraq Study Group that this report's introduction was delayed from before the election so as not to affect its outcome. This means that if the contents of this report, if acted upon, could have saved even one life by being released earlier, but that they didn't care except to make it political, then this makes them murderers. But these people are used to that, I guess. Yeah, of course. Again, the Iraq Study Group are a bunch of shills. I don't trust any. Even Leon Panetta, who is that? Was that Clinton's former chief of staff at one point? You people who beatify Clinton need to wake up just a tad. There were some good things that he did, but the for the most part, his administration, where it concerned Iraq, was as corrupt and criminal and murderous as anything the two Bushes did. It was on Clinton's watch that 500,000 children died because of the lack of medical supplies and clean water. It was on Clinton's watch that his Secretary of State was asked if 500,000 deaths of children were worth the sanctions, and she replied, yes, I do think so. So screw Bill Clinton and any efforts that anyone cares to make about beatifying Bill Clinton regarding Iraq. He was as much of complicit in mass murder as either Bush. And you might as well accept that. It might make it a little bit easier If you ever want to clear your mind and get beyond the BS that's put out in this country by the media, the Democrats, and the Republicans, and really get to the point of truth and reconciliation, you might accept the fact that Bill Clinton and his administration was as guilty, if not more so, because Clinton has a mind. Clinton has an IQ. Clinton has a brain. And what did he do in 8 years to lobby, to use the bully pulpit, to order, as far as U.S. involvement is concerned, an end to what was going on in Iraq? He did not. Not once. So starting with Pappy Bush and ending with this miserable, cretinous bastard that we have now, all three of these presidents are complicit. They are guilty, guilty, guilty of all of it. Excuse me. Got carried away. Paul is calling from Virginia. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I agree with you on one point that this report is likely to have no effect on Bush's position. What I hope it may do, though, is start the process by which, when the Democrats take control, they reach the conclusion that the only way we can stop the bloodshed is to defund the war, like the Congress had to do with Vietnam. I know people say that will be suicide, but I think this election was about people wanting us to end the bloodshed by any means necessary. And I'm hoping that I'm not disappointed, like many of the people in this country who voted for the Democrats, that 2 years from now we're still here talking about how to get out.
Oh, God.
Because then it will have become the Democrats' war as much as it will become Bush's war.
Right. Well, I don't think there's going to be an effort to cut off the money. But what might happen is that this report might generate enough courage on the part of Democrats to go ahead and remove this evil son of a bitch and Cheney from office. Now, that is a possibility. It's slim, but it's a possibility. All right. Well, listen, thanks. I appreciate your input, Paul. Thanks a lot. BJ is calling from Lake Havasu in Arizona. BJ, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you it was a very dark and scary day when your voice disappeared off the air. So
yeah.
I feel very good that you're back.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
I could just puke at all this nicey-nicey talk about bipartisan.
Yeah.
After 6 years of watching them crush us and our country and our Constitution and our voices. And just a couple weeks ago, we were aiding the terrorists because of our positions.
Yeah.
And I don't think they deserve anything from us. And I don't know. It's not very productive. I'm kind of on a rant, but it just burns me every time I see them, Tony Snow, talking about bipartisanship now. It is too late. I feel like it's just too late.
Well, I agree, and I've said many times on this program, I am not evolved enough spiritually to say, okay, let's work towards bipartisanship. I want to see somebody, a whole bunch of somebodies jailed in this country, lawmakers and administration officials. I want to see people go down in flames. You know, I wish that I were a more mature soul or evolved personality so that I could rise above it, but I can't. I want to beat somebody up for doing this to my country and my nation and me and all of us here. I want to hit somebody with a 2x4 for destroying our military and destroying our jobs and destroying our environmental laws. I'm angry and I can't get past it. Bipartisanship. I'm guessing where you are, BJ. I don't even want to hear bipartisanship until after a few people have been indicted, tried for treason, for misleading the country, and jailed.
Well, you're exactly right. And I just, are we the one? Why do I keep feeling like, why isn't everyone else just as outraged? Today, a reporter from Fox News asked, I don't even remember the question, but it was pretty brutal. And I thought, you hypocrites, at this point, now you're going to start getting tough on the guy and being, you know, honest about what's really in front of our eyes.
I know.
Made me sick, too.
It's insane, BJ. I don't know. Just try to keep your head above water. That's what I try to do all the time. Thanks for checking in, all right?
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Take care. Take care, BJ. We'll talk again. All right. We have a break here. We'll be back. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Let's go back to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. If you have a comment on the presentation of the ISG report to this murderous, incompetent freak that squats in the White House, we would invite your call. And tomorrow we'll talk about Santa and the reindeer pee. No, it's a real topic. Let's start with Jim, who's calling in from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I was listening to Alex Jones' show today, and I heard about a daughter of one of the 9/11 pilots that got killed in a fire under very suspicious circumstances.
Now, what do you mean, 9/11 pilots?
One of the pilots that supposedly died in the 9/11 attacks.
Oh, one of the Muslims?
No, one of our U.S. pilots.
Oh, okay. In what? One of the airline pilots?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now I got you. All right.
Yeah. And one of his daughters died in the fire today. Under suspicious circumstances.
What made the circumstances suspicious?
I'm not exactly sure. I had sent you an email and sent you a couple of attachments of my pictures of my kids, and then I noticed on your site that you don't open emails with attachments. So I thought, well, I'll give you guys a call tonight. So.
Okay. Well, what you got to say is sounds very interesting, but I'm not sure. If you can get some more information, maybe, and give us a holler back tomorrow or whatever, about what were the suspicious circumstances. You see what I'm saying?
Right. That's all the article has said. It was under suspicious circumstances. Apparently, on Alex Jones' show, they said that some neighbors heard a commotion from the apartment that went up into flames, and I wasn't able to confirm this, but Alex had also said that this pilot was known to have taken part in drills where planes were used as weapons of terror.
Well,
so,
yeah, you know, as Agent Mulder used to say, the truth is out there.
Yeah.
And it's probably a truth we're never going to know. If you get some more information, though, regarding that particular death, let us know. All right, Jim?
I'll re-mail you the link.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Take care.
You're welcome, Mike.
All right. Alex is calling from Scottsdale. Is it Scottsdale or Scottdale?
It's Scottsdale, Arizona.
Scottsdale. Hey, Alex.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
Last night we were talking about the Shiites and the Sunnis.
Yes.
And the 1,140 years and how everybody's just like on another planet with this and they really don't want to either listen or learn to what the truth is?
Yeah.
I mean, how far does it go before it doesn't sink in? I mean...
All right, now, what truth are you talking about here?
Well, what I'm talking about is that this has been going on for thousands of years, and they just think they're going to stay the course. They've got some new information. They're going to go throw in some new things on the plate, and nothing's really changed.
The violence between Sunni and Shia.
Yeah, well, what I'm talking about is the stay the course in Iraq.
Right.
I mean, this has been going on for a long time, and they think they're going to, like, change the course. And I'm just having a hard time with that after what I read to you last night about how long this has been going on.
Well, that's the arrogance of U.S. policymakers in this particular case, these people inside the Bush crime family and operating outside the crime family, so they can't be held responsible, like PNAC. This is the arrogance of U.S. imperialism that's been around for an awfully long time. This is, this began, make an argument that the global imperialism began with the Spanish-American War. We did to Philippine people much of what we're doing to Iraqi people, which is what we did to Vietnamese and Central American people. So, you know, I don't know how to respond anymore. We need leadership that is compassionate and honest and truthful and moral. We have had over a century of immoral leaders with one or two glaring exceptions in the White House. The immoral, now, you know, a political scientist or a philosopher could make the argument that all governments are immoral. And in the right frame of mind, I could probably agree with that. But that is not a fallback position. The fallback position, in my opinion, should be that while that may be true, that all governments are immoral, they can be otherwise. So I'm lost here. You know what I'm saying?
I'm kind of lost too, because it's like even when they put Gates in, and you know he's got his all stuff with 41, yeah, and in his background with the Iran-Contra, and they're acting like this is just going to be a push through because we need to get him in there and change the course, and he's even admitted that they're, you know, not winning the battle over there. Well, what's he going to do different?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and I don't think there's anything different that can be done. There's only one thing different that can be done, and that is for the United States to get the hell out and acknowledge, throw ourselves on the mercy of the international community, beg forgiveness, plead with the families whose members in Iraq we have murdered, plead with them for some sort of dispensation, that it was in a moment of collective national insanity that we allowed this to happen, and then plead with the now approaching 3,000 families in this country who have given a son or a daughter or a husband or a mother or a wife, plead with the American families for some sort of compassionate understanding. I don't know what the hell else to do, Alex.
I mean, I've got this client, Kevin Gillespie, and I watched her son grow up for 19 years because she's been a customer of mine for 19 years. And Anthony joined the Coast Guard. I think I told you this before.
Yeah.
And he was a medic, and him and his whole crew of medics, and Bush had the audacity and the mendacity to thank the Coast Guard for their contribution. But he failed to say that 12 of the guys that were medics were on this helicopter got blown up by an IED.
Yeah.
And that was her only son. And I watched this kid, 19 years grow up, and I got a bunch of sons myself, and just to even fathom that, to how she's dealing with it. And I brought it up, and I was saying to myself, you know, how can you ever repay that? I mean, there's no way they can compensate this woman.
No, there isn't.
And with the status course attitude and what they're going to do different, I mean, they're building this embassy there that's like the Taj Mahal of embassies.
Right.
And, you know, they've got all this money invested. So even though we would like to think that something better might come of this, I mean, the reality of it, I mean, look how much they're investing.
Yeah.
You know, there was this thing where this, back east of this coal plant, the government, they spent like $3.8 billion or something like that, or $1 million on making it, and then now the population well, the area that the smog's gone down. Mm-hmm. And if you look at how much they've spent over there in Iraq, we could do this to the other 436 plants that are polluting in the East Coast and change the pollution out there. But instead, we're throwing it away over there so, you know, more people can get blown up.
I know. It's horrifying. What could be done with the $500 billion that this corrupt, filthy, murderous administration has already thrown into Iraq, into the hands of Dick Cheney's company and George Shultz's company. I'm talking about the Bechtel Group. I'm talking about Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton. These hideous, murderous private security forces that are nothing more than Klansmen without the hoods. You know, $500 billion, nearly $500 billion. That these filthy bastards in the White House have thrown into this. Sure, so much could have been done here, and it will never get done. You know, money spent is money gone. It will never get done. What they have done to us and the reputation of the United States is beyond belief, and that's why I do not understand why Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the rest of these people say that impeachment is off the table. If anyone in our history should be removed from office and tried for treason, it is this Bush administration, all of them. Alex, I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in.
You're welcome.
Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy on NOVEM.
Shocking to see. Trouble, oh, trouble move from me. I have paid my debt, now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, oh, trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight, and I have.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. A lot of money being made on this murderous enterprise of the Bush administration in Iraq. Yesterday's Washington Post says there are about 100,000 government contractors operating in Iraq. That's not counting subcontractors. A total, the Post says, it is approaching the size of the U.S. military force there. That's according to our own military's first census of the growing population of civilians operating in the battlefield. The article goes on to say the survey finding, which includes Americans, Iraqis, and third-party nationals hired by companies operating under U.S. government contracts, is significantly higher and wider in scope than the Pentagon's only previous estimate, which said there were about 25,000 security contractors in the country. This number, 100,000, is also 10 times the estimated number of contractors that deployed during the Persian Gulf War in 1991. Jesus, God. I hope you all just choke to death on the money that you are raping out of that country. It's incredible. It's incredible. He goes on to say, in addition to about 140,000 U.S. troops, Iraq is now filled with a hodgepodge of contractors. DynCorp International has about 1,500 employees in Iraq, including about 700 helping train the police force. The police force that is as corrupt and as anti-American as any organization in Iraq. Blackwater USA has more than 1,000 employees in the country, most of them providing private security. Kellogg Brown and Root, Cheney's operation, one of the largest contractors in Iraq, said it does not delineate its workforce by country, but it has more than 50,000 employees and subcontractors working in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait. It just goes on and on and on. Jesus, God in heaven. It's just, I don't know. All right, back to your phone calls. Lawrence is calling from Oakland, California. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you doing? I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Well, what I want to talk about, I've been doing what I what all good thinking progressives should do, and keeping tabs on other points of view.
Uh-huh.
And I've been spending a lot of time reading the opinions of the really far right wingers on the right wing blogs out there in the blogosphere.
Uh-huh.
The people who are to the right of George Bush.
Right.
And it's interesting because they have a very different point of view. They're actually quite angry at Bush and they criticize him quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll give you two basic opinions that they have about the ISG and about the war in general and everything. First of all, they think that the reason that we're not winning in Iraq, the reason that it's not over yet, is because George Bush is tying the hands of the army.
We've heard that one before. We heard that back in the Vietnam era.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're sure that if Bush just let them loose, they could end the war just by killing all of the bad people who apparently go around with terrorists tattooed on their foreheads so you can see who they are.
Yeah, right-wing bloggers are lower than, they're the lowest form of life on the Internet. They're just absolute pigs. Every one of them is a coward. None of them has served in any kind of a combat operation. A lot of them claim that they were in Vietnam or they were in this unit or that unit, and it's a lie. The Internet, these right-wing blogs, is a purview of nothing but just complete cowards.
Yeah, not only that, but they have astonishing powers of ignorance.
Unbelievably so.
They can push away any piece of information that gets within 10 feet of them. But also, the second thing that I find that they believe is because the Democrats won the election, and also because Bush is listening to all of those old guys in the ISG, they're sure that the outcome of this is that there'll be a nuclear terrorist attack on the United States. And they'll take over, and we'll have to convert to Islam.
They're such sick, evil little bastards. If there's ever a nuclear attack on this country, you know, like a suitcase bomb, it'll come from one of these right-wing racist pigs on the right, an American with an American-sounding name, like Timothy McVeigh. If McVeigh could have gotten his hands on nuclear or fissile material, he would have used it. And that's what these right-wingers do. These right-wingers... with the blogs, they need to be hunted down like animals and put out of their misery. Frankly, they're just evil destroyers of this country. They have been, they always have been, they always will be. Be careful when you read that stuff because it'll leak into your brain and make you mentally ill. Hey, I gotta leave it there. Thanks a lot for checking in. All right.
Thank you, man. Take care.
All right. We'll talk again, Lawrence. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're still out here. He has been told to say it clear, to say it cool. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Bang the gun, slide.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Colleen is calling from Grayton, California. Colleen, welcome to the program.
Hi, nice to talk to you again.
Well, my pleasure, Colleen.
Well, I want to know why no one's talking about declaring a ceasefire.
Yeah, really.
I understand in the jihad religion, if we were to declare ceasefire, they would not be allowed to fire back against us, so that would at least eliminate a large portion of the violence. And I have some suggestions for your listeners. My representative in Congress, Lynn Woolsey, has put forth House Resolution 5875, and the title is to repeal the authorization for use of military force against Iraq, the resolution of 2002, which was public law 107-243. That's when they worked around the Constitution by not declaring war before they actually went to war.
Mm-hmm.
So this went to committee, the International Relations Committee, where they took no action on it. And the action they took this week was just to name the Henry Hyde Room. So I'm going to suggest that we put some pressure on Henry Hyde to actually do something to undo some of the bad karma they have incurred.
Never happened. The way to do this is to have Mr. Woolsey reintroduce his resolution after the Democrats are seated.
I know that's what they'd like to do, but I'd like my troops home for Christmas.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's one thing to want an end to this. It's something else again to, you know, expect the impossible. We're dealing with a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and I don't mean to be the one to pee on the parade, Colleen, but you and I both know it's not going to happen.
Well, like you've said, a lot of Republicans and the right wings are not happy with the current administration, and I think there might be some of them that like to at least have their name go on record for at least having tried to do something in this session, because every day we wait, we know there are going to be countless more of our troops dead, of innocent civilian troops dead. So our troops are making a huge sacrifice. It's all that we could do is to sacrifice a little bit of time to contact our representatives on the federal level and tell them, don't let this be a lame duck session. Actually do something. And since these have been introduced, it's possible that they could be heard if there was enough public outcry. So I've taken the time to write to mine, and I've challenged my Congresswoman, Dianne Feinstein, to uphold her campaign promise to bring the troops home.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay in touch.
Okay.
Let us know how that works out, and I hope others will follow your lead if they're so inclined. I don't mean to be negative, but there's not a Republican in the House or the Senate that would sign on to this idea for a very simple reason. If they were to do that, to say, well, Woolsey already has a resolution here, let's rescind. Every single right-wing grassroots organization, some of which are legit, some of which are total fantasies, would attack that Republican member of the House or the Senate, deny him or her funds for re-election, call him or her a traitor, a cut-and-run, freak, Democrat-loving, you're with the terrorists. Now, again, I think it's a good idea for people to write to their members of Congress. But if you're expecting any Republican, and they are in control until the new Congress is sworn in, if you expect any Republican to not only take the lead on this, but to even jump on the bandwagon as a member of the herd, I think that's a mistake. Is she gone? Did she hang? How in the hell did that happen? All right, well, I apologize to the caller. I didn't mean for the call to be over. But anyway, what I was saying applies whether she was on the phone or not. I apologize for that glitch. But there is not a Republican in America who is an elected official on the federal level or the various 50 states, not with the possible exception of Ron Paul, but he's not a Republican. He's a libertarian who got elected as a Republican once he switched party labels. Ron Paul did not change his opinion or his points of view. He merely switched labels because most people can't handle voting for anyone other than, certainly not in Texas, other than a Democrat or a Republican. So other than Ron Paul, I cannot think of any Republican. So I don't know. Do you call that a wasted effort? The argument can be made that no effort, made in contacting elected members of Congress is wasted. The cynic's point of view is that every attempt is wasted because they are so far removed from what we're about, except when they need money to run for election, or I should say re-election. Then all of a sudden, they're very close to their constituents. So I don't know. It's very difficult for me to be non-cynical about members of Congress. Certainly, Republicans. To a lesser degree, Democrats. Ron is calling from Prescott, Arizona. Hey, Ron.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Just want to update you on the story about the daughter of one of the pilots of the commercial airlines that crashed into the, I think, the Twin Towers in 9/11.
Okay.
And then make a comment about the new Congress. What happened is the pilot died in the crash in 9/11. His
right.
daughter got married to a man no one really knows who he is, and they were in their apartment. The neighbor heard a commotion in their apartment just before the place went up in flames, and it was like it blew up, an explosion of some kind. The husband got out. She did not. She remained in and was burned in the fire, and the police says it looks suspicious.
Okay, what could be a possible scenario there? Let's assume the worst. Let's assume that this woman was murdered. To what end?
Well, no one knows for sure. Just allegedly, she may have made a comment because her father was involved in secret government training exercises that they were conducting periodically. And one of them was conducted on 9/11, or actually several of them, where the government was conducting exercises, flying hijacked airplanes into buildings. And so the theory is that she probably knew about it, was talking, and they had to shut her up.
She knew about what her father had been involved in.
Right, had been involved in and was talking about it. And I don't know, this is all speculation, but probably her husband was set up by the government to keep an eye on her.
All right, that's kind of pushing my ability to
believe. Yeah, it's all speculation right now. But I wanted to make a comment on the new Congress for your listeners.
Say it again?
A comment for your listeners about the new Congress, the Democratic-controlled Congress.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Do not expect them to do anything about the Bush crime family, because Pelosi is involved, and Hillary Clinton are both members of the Bush crime family. They're just the Democratic wing of the crime family. And they're not going to do anything unless you, the people, email, write, and call your congressmen, your senators, and demand that investigations be made into the illegal war in Iraq, of the lies that got us into it, the cover-up about the lies, the WMDs, the whole works. You have to demand investigations because they are part of it, and unless people put the pressure on them, they won't do anything.
All right. Listen, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you checking in.
Okay.
All right, thanks. I'm reminded of the number of deaths following the assassination of John Kennedy, of people who were involved directly and indirectly, peripherally. And I can remember losing interest in ever finding the truth to that story. Maybe my great-great-grandchildren, if such a thing exists, will learn the truth. But when I lost interest in it, there were probably 35 people who had died under suspicious circumstances, who had direct and indirect connections to the Kennedy assassination. So the 9/11 thing seems to developing the same kind of pantheon of unfortunate souls, huh?
You gotta move. You gotta move.
About 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew. The program was engineered in Phoenix by Ian Huff, who also answered your phone calls. Do we not have enough money in this network yet to get Ian some help? How does he do that?
Now, I have to say that there was a whole crowd of folk in there working on the satellite system tonight, so.
Okay. We are uplinked now. I think I got an email today that says we are uplinked to a satellite, which means it should be fairly soon when stations around the country who have been clamoring for this network and this program, in all modesty, will be able to get it.
Yeah, just in time before other possible liberal networks might go dark.
Not to, whose initials might be Air America. Huh? Okay. Thanks to the rest of... the folks who are responsible for the program every night. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall at markmarshall.com, who is our webmaster. The moderators at mikemalloy.com on the message board. And by the way, I say this in emails. If you want to participate on the message board, you cannot use a Yahoo or a Hotmail address. You have got to use the address of your internet service provider. And the reason for that is it cuts down on the ugliness and the spam and the hate. So if you want to participate, fine, but use your ISP email address. Don't use Hotmail or Qmail or Zmail. What the hell? All these fake, phony-ass email organizations. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program and... podcasts are available and downloads, as you know. Charles is calling from Connecticut. Is this our bureau chief?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi.
A long time.
Now, you are the South Fairfield County bureau chief.
That's correct.
How to remember that. Speak up, bureau chief.
Can you hear me now?
I
can. As the commercial says.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, there's something that sort of fell off the radar since I heard it. From, I guess, the BBC this morning,
yeah.
Which I thought, in all legitimate reports, would go alongside of the Bush study report,
mm-hmm.
study in quotes, and that was that once again, but this time more forcefully, Iraq has demanded a time frame
yes.
for when we're going to leave.
Yes. That's what I was mentioning in a call earlier tonight. 100 members of the fake Iraqi parliament have signed a petition saying that they want us out. Now, Bush said again today or the other day before this phony-ass report was handed to this phony-ass president that we would be there until such time as the Iraqis want us out.
He said that repeatedly.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that they want us gone. So they can continue... the ethnic cleansing that they are perpetrating against each other and then set up their own religious government, the Islamic Republic of Iraq, which is what Bush has delivered to the world.
Well, I've sort of developed this theory of my own that based on what I've heard fundamentalist Wahhabists, describe true Christianity as being like, and how George portrays it,
mm-hmm.
and considering the fact that he's the one that the first month of 2001 kept on giving the Taliban more money,
mm-hmm.
considering what he wants to achieve, I would say that George Bush is a fundamentalist Wahhabist.
Well, that's true. There's no difference. A lot of people take offense and say that I am joining pigs like Glenn Beck in attacking Islam. I don't attack Islam. I think all religions are sick. They're constructs that are the repository for mental illness. Now, I'm not saying that faith is not an admirable quality.
But when it's blind, it's dangerous.
Well, I'm talking about religion. Religion that has set itself up with all sorts of rules and regulations and subdivisions and their worship and this and that. If a person wants to be spiritual, if a person wants to acknowledge a creator or an avatar of that creator, a person can do that very quietly and secretly and correctly, in my opinion. People who follow religious cults, whether it's Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, I don't care what the cult is.
Well, it becomes the point when they become absolutists.
Well,
that becomes
right.
Dangerous because he said this is what something is absolutely.
Absolutely.
And nothing fits in that.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Charles. Once the religion is established, and once it's established on the basis that my God is the proper God, then I have license to murder you anytime I choose to, and I will be blessed by my God.
Well, do what George Carlin does. He prays to Joe Pesci. We know Joe Pesci exists.
Oh, God, so to speak. All right, thanks, yeah. Charles. Stay in touch. Don't be a stranger, all right?
Sure.
All right, Charles. No, again, I have to differentiate, I guess, between my take, not that it matters. Nobody gives a damn what I think about religion, but because it comes up so frequently, given the religious fanatics, the blood-drinking fanatics that now control so much of the world, my position on faith is entirely different from my position on religion. I don't share a belief in any sort of faith-based anything, but I have respect for those people who do, because I go back to another pop music reference, John Lennon's statement of whatever gets you through the night is all right. Someone who wants to believe or have faith in a supreme being, have at it. That's between you and your superego. So, you know, work it out. It's fine by me. But religion, that's never murderous. Religion is. I'll see you tomorrow night, all right? Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.